going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. We are recording immediately after the conclusion of Nebraska's gut punch, heartbreaking loss to USC, where we'll apologize in advance. We may be out of words at this point. This could be a very short podcast because we might just be completely out of words being Nebraska fans at this point. But through all of the pain and suffering, that doesn't mean you should prevent yourself from enjoying delicious Nebraska beef. And you can do that by going to Certified Piedmontese, cpbeef.com, and get your premium Nebraska beef. They've got steaks, burgers, ribs, beef brats, beef sausage, beef bacon, all the beef. And you can get 25% off cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. So go to, and also stop by your local Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha to get your stuff. Okay, got it, Common Fans? Use the promo code. Use the promo code, Common Fan. If you're not ordering from CPB.
Use it now.
Use it now.
No exceptions. Use it now.
Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Also check out our website, www.commonfan.co. TS Web Services built the site for us. Their team of experts provides top-notch solutions tailored to your needs. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. We had a fantastic experience working with their team. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Finally, we told you about our new merchandise. There's more socks on the way.
Socks.
These cool GBR for life socks. Red option and a black option. Go to sillysco.com, sillieseco.com, and you'll see they do much more than Common Fan merchandise. They have all kinds of cool and fun socks, and it's a great idea for the upcoming holiday season. And you can get 25% off all the socks, not just Common Fan socks, all the socks using the promo code GBR number 4 LIFE. Excuse me, all one word, GBR number 4 LIFE. That's GBR for life. GBR number 4 LIFE. That gets you 25% off all the socks at sillysco.com.
Who wouldn't want some Common Fan socks for Christmas?
We have a couple different designs. And what's cool is they're not just like the lame Common Fan logo. Our logo's not lame, but it's not just a logo. Like, we have a couple different options that say GBR for life on them, which is cool. And then there's a Herbie option and a Roulade option and some cool different designs. And some of them are saying sold out right now. They'll be in, they're not really sold out because they're brand new. They're all brand new designs. So they will be in the next couple of weeks. So check out sillysco.com for your socks.
They're sold out. Everybody wants them.
That's why they're sold out. They're hot off
the
sold
out. Everyone's a Common Fan. I was going to say, I wanted, just before we jump into everything as like an intro, I had some Certified Piedmontese premium beef thawing in the fridge all today for a victory and us going bowling celebration. I'm withholding now. Withholding till tomorrow. I can't go through with it. We're gonna make it tomorrow.
No, you should still use the beef.
Eat it. You should still destroy it.
I gotta punish myself. Okay, I gotta punish myself for this.
No, we don't need to do that.
You don't need to punish yourself, Jeff.
No, you didn't do anything wrong, Jeff. No.
Other than the normal stuff.
Well, the usual
that you always do.
Yeah. Check out the Irish today. You want to start already?
No. You know what? I'm gonna mute you.
Don't. Matteo's the host on this thing. He will just mute you and talk for the rest of the time.
He's been muted. I muted him.
Let's see here. Okay.
He's looking at hysterically.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, he just unmuted him. I didn't know you can't do this to me.
I won't.
Oh, no. Great. Now we're frozen. Way to go, Jeff.
To get to bowl eligibility. But this is just a rough one. For some reason, in the scoring summary, they don't have the pick six. Anyway, okay, whatever. This game reminded me, guys, of like this game summed up the last almost 9 years of Nebraska football,
basically. Yeah.
To the 25th, like everything, right. One score loss, second half lead that we couldn't hold on to,
chance of going bowling,
red zone opportunities that we couldn't convert. Bad calls or missed calls against us. I won't go so far as to say those cost us the game because, like, I don't know. I'm tired of blaming that when there's other things that we could have done.
Inexplicable.
Inexplicable bad luck.
Yes.
Like the tip drill, like touchdown catch, and like the tip drill third down catch. Like,
it's unbelievable.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Right. And it's also like within the game. I sort of ran the gamut of like feelings and emotions of how we felt during this, all these years. So like after the Sayre Wright gets a pick six, but that ball looked awful that Maeva threw. And I thought, oh, hopefully they don't replace Maeva. Hopefully he just keeps throwing ducks like that. You know, and he ended up being pretty good. I'm sorry. ESPN, I think, is wrong, but the Sayre Wright pick six was the first score for either team of the game, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, after that, I was kind of like, you know what? This is just going to be like maybe the Colorado game or maybe for some reason, I thought of 2020 Penn State, where it was a big name team who, you know, probably has more talent than we do. And they just like kind of laid an egg and we kind of routed them. And so after the pick six, I was like, here we go. Like, this is going to be our day. It's going to be our day.
Yeah.
And then USC scored, twice. So they scored with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter and right at the beginning of the second quarter. So suddenly USC is up 14-7. And then I felt like this is probably going to get away from us. Yep. Like we're probably going to lose by 30.
I did not feel comfortable.
Like, we're not making stops on defense. The offense isn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. This is just going to get away from us. And maybe that's better. Maybe that's fine. You know, like just all this irrational.
Yeah.
Rational thought. And then suddenly, like, we went down the field and on a little dump off, I guess, to Emmett Johnson, EJ just skirted down the sideline and scored a touchdown to tie the game.
Yeah.
And then we went into halftime tied 14-14. It was like, okay, we get the ball to start the second half. Like, maybe, just maybe, here we go. And then we go to get the ball to start the second half and we go down and get into field goal range. And Johnny Hole connects on a 29-yard field goal, and suddenly it's 17-14 Nebraska. And then, as seems to be the case for as long as this painful stretch has been going, the other team marched right down the field in a fashion that looked way too easy to get a touchdown to take the lead. This happened against Ohio State immediately after we took the lead.
Yep.
It feels like it happens all the time. We couldn't even hold them to a game-tying field goal. They have to score a touchdown and take the lead. So suddenly it's 21-17 USC. And then I don't have the blow by blow is not up on US or on ESPN. And I don't chart the plays, but I'm pretty sure.
Don't?
I don't, Jeff. And then I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure USC forced a punt, or maybe there was a couple back and forth there. Let me see here. They score to make it 21-17 with 7:15 to go in the third quarter. Okay, so then I think it was just we get the ball. I think we got a first down or two, if I recall correctly, and then we were forced to punt. Or did Dylan throw the pick? Or maybe, well, whatever. We didn't score. I just remember USC got the ball, and I apologize, common fans. Normally, I have the play-by-play in front of me, but again, it's not up on the ESPN website. What I know is,
oh, here we go. I got pulled up on The Athletic.
Oh, nice.
All right, so we gave up. So field goal, touchdown. We gave up touchdown. 5 plays, 75 yards, 222. Good. So they scored in 5 plays after we went took 11 plays to go down and get a field goal.
Yeah,
and then we went 3 and out.
So, okay, it was 3 and out. Okay.
And then USC comes back, 2 plays, and they fumbled.
That's the fumble. That's what I was getting at.
And then that would have been an opportune moment to go down and get six.
So that's what I was getting at, Matteo. So was it Ty Robinson that forced the fumble?
Yes.
Yeah, Robinson forced the fumble, and Mekhi Bayer, I think, jumped on it. And that was like, okay, here we go. Like that felt
like we are going to go win this game.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
That's
right,
what that moment felt like.
He was on the ground.
And shame on us. Shame on us fools.
For believing it.
Well, that was so, Matteo, do you have it on the phone there? Yeah. Didn't we take over at the 15-yard line?
Let's see. Bear with me here, common fans.
Yeah.
We took over on the 16. Yeah.
You're we took so, over on the 16 yard line.
Yard off.
And so we went.
Emmett Johnson rushed for no gain. Dylan Raiola complete to Nair for 7 yards.
For seven. Yeah. So it was like third and three.
Complete to Emmett for a loss of three.
No, but that was the one. The loss of three was because Dylan missed a wide open Jamal Banks in the corner. He appeared to be looking right at him. He might have turned away. So that looked like a go ahead touchdown that Dylan just didn't throw it.
That's what Sevier was killer.
About. Yeah. And then he had to scramble and he dumped it off to Emmett for a loss. And then, you know, hats off to Johnny Holy, made another field goal. So that's 21-20. But like that reminded me of against Ohio State when we got the interception and ran it all the way back to the 7. And we're left with no points because we couldn't get into the end zone and couldn't get 7 yards in 4 plays. But at that point, like it's still 21-20, and that was still late third quarter. So you're kind of thinking, well, we've kind of clawed, you know, we didn't fold after they scored the touchdown to go ahead, and then we went 3 and out. Like we could have just kind of fallen apart there. And I remember thinking how precarious before we got the fumble recovery, how precarious that USC possession felt. And we stepped up and we made a play and we got points, right? So 21-20. And then there, for most of the rest of the game, there's some back and forth without anybody scoring, but a major play in there was USC got into field goal range and we blocked a field goal.
I was watching it with Ashley and I go, it would be awesome to see special teams just do something cool for once. Is my exact wording. Just do something cool.
Yeah.
See, and they blocked it right away. And I go, they did something cool. This is fantastic.
There it is.
Hats off to Sierra, right? For just like playing his mind out, just out of his mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
no doubt.
So, but between the pick six and the blocked field goal, but then guys, we went 3 and out and punted. After the block field goal.
So before we move on and the game recap, the one thing I will say is TJ and Matt, you've all mentioned it before, like the field goals are huge. Like they can make all the difference in the world in any game. And that's why special teams need to do their job. I felt like in this game, the field goals were not going to cut it. And you probably would agree that the way that things were going, they can go down and score a touchdown. We kick three, we make it. That's great. But there was no doubt in my mind that they were going to probably turn around and go down and score another touchdown. So it just kind of sucked because special teams was doing what they needed to do. And I still didn't have hope that we were going to be able to keep up with them.
Well, Jeff, unfortunately, the whole underlying the point that you just made is the fact that we have missed makeable field goals all season long. Yep. So that's why it even feels remarkable, right?
Yeah, like, right.
Otherwise, we'd be complaining about not getting touchdowns.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, we'd be complaining. But because we finally make a couple of field goals after missing them or being really inconsistent all season long, it's like, well, thank God we get the field goals when we're in field goal range. And that's true. One of them was a 29 yarder. One of them was a 30 yarder.
Very low bar.
Exactly right. And I think especially that second one where you make the big play on defense, it's third and three. And again, it's hard to, we'll get into the offense and we'll get into Raiola, because I think those are the things that, you know, we got to talk about it all. But like, it's hard to put it on like Holgorsen. That looked like a great play call. Jamal Banks was wide open.
Yeah. And I don't know if that was like the primary target or the primary read for
Dylan
him.
Was
like from
right
what
open.
It looked like, it was like a look screen left, secondary option to the right. But then Banks is running with nobody on him. Yeah. Like, I don't know what his reads are there, but yeah, I mean, he's not seeing everybody, and we should give him some grace as he's a true freshman, but man, we gotta have those.
Yeah. I want to come back to that, Maddie. I want to spend time on that. So let's get through the rest of sort of the game summary. So it's 21-20. Get the block, you know, we go back and forth, we get the block field goal, we go three and out. Buscini had a nice game. Buscini, you know, punted well. And then the really, really pivotal turn of events was late in the fourth quarter, where it's, what was it, third and 10, and USC's got the ball. And I think it was James Williams. Was it James Williams? Somebody got a hand on the ball to where it looked like it wouldn't, like if it had hit the turf, it looked like it would not have even have been a forward pass to me. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But I mean, somebody got a hand on it pretty quickly. And it's wobbling. And then it hits Javon Wright, but I think it was like, maybe it was just the tip. I don't know. It looked like when I first saw it, I said, Wright's got to catch that ball. When I saw it again, it looked like as it was coming toward him, the receiver reached back. That's what it was.
Yeah.
The receiver reached back, tipped it. It tipped off Javon Wright.
Mm-hmm.
And back to the receiver.
It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yes.
And then he caught the ball. And still, and they, of course, that was absurd. The spot was maybe okay, like ish. Okay. And you could tell where he landed was short, and the official was trying to wave him down. Like, go ahead, automatic first down. I'm glad they measured.
Yeah.
And then it was fourth and short, and they busted a huge run.
Yeah. 34 yard run on fourth
big play.
And one. It was third and 10 at the USC 45. And then we had that play you just described, TJ.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sitting there thinking, and I thought this the same thing in the first half on that tip drill touchdown where Hartsog probably should have intercepted it. Like it looked like it went right between his hands.
It did.
Like I'm sitting there thinking, like, of course, like that happens to us. Like it just seems like that always happens to us. Like it's the pick the last game against USC UCLA. The pick at the end of the game where it bounces off of our receiver's leg and is intercepted. Like these cursed. Things just seem to happen. We are cursed.
We are cursed.
It feels like
it's going on here.
Well, and let's hold on. Let's so
we can so get back
after that, Maeva scores. There's 2:45 left. Credit to the Husker. Like again, guys, I don't want to take us down to negative town. But when it's 28-20,
you deserve it.
I'm sitting there thinking, like, the odds of us both scoring a touchdown and getting the 2-point conversion.
I said the exact same
really
thing.
Low.
I told Ashley, this sounds terrible, you guys, but I go, just can we get this game over with? We're not going to march down the field and score a touchdown,
and get
a 2-point conversion on top of it. I had no hope for that.
And then it's like,
do not extend my agony.
And if we did, what do you get for your efforts, common fans? Overtime.
Yeah.
We haven't won since 2014.
Right.
Right. So I guess credit to the boys for making it interesting. Got all the way down to the USC 15. I actually had less hope then. I almost had more hope when we were throwing, like chucking it up from the 40, because at least you have like more room to work with and there's more of a chance of a breakdown. On that last play, they had what, four or five guys at the line and about six or seven guys
in the end zone,
basically at the end zone,
at the goal line-ish.
So I don't know. I was, you know, I'd love to see whatever, but you know, like throw it to like the five and then do like a hook and lateral or something. You know what I'm saying? Like you're better off than with that than throw, but at that point your odds are just not very good.
Just
of course it ends with a non-call. It should have been a defensive hold or a PI or something there.
Yeah.
They usually don't call. I'm not letting the refs off the hook. They usually don't call that at game. I don't know. I feel, or they don't call it when we need it called. Right. but I also just like, I'm frustrated enough to where I want to say like why are we always in this place where it comes down to a call or a non-call? Why haven't we done enough up to that point to win the game?
Right? We're not good enough.
That's how it feels, because we're not good enough, right?
We're not good enough.
So, all right. So that's the game. Let's talk about first, guys. The men, like, are we cursed?
I mean, yes.
Did somebody at some stage, somebody between 1962 when Bob Devaney took over and 2014 when we fired Pelini, because it's really been agony since then for the most part. Did somebody in there somewhere make a deal with the devil? Did somebody,
did somebody
piss off the chick in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? And she's just been doing the knife in the, what do you call that? What kind of doll is that?
The voodoo doll, the Herbie Husker. Doll. Yeah, there's a Herbie Husker voodoo doll that's repeatedly being stabbed.
You would think that thing is just in shreds by now. You would think the Herbie Husker voodoo doll.
There's nothing left. There's nothing. It's like, stop. He's dead already. It's the old, stop beating him. He's dead already.
You guys remember?
We're dead already.
Early on in the podcast.
Give it up.
Early on in the podcast, I freaking crawled through the catacombs underneath Memorial Stadium just to get that damn Richie Incognito jersey and break this damn curse.
It didn't work, Jeff.
That was all for nothing.
It didn't work.
It didn't do anything for us, Jeff.
You might have made it worse, Jeff. You might have made it worse.
Actually, you might. You think it has to be worse, because not once but twice we had an inexplicable play where it the same thing happened. It bounced off of our defender back into the receiver's hands. That happened twice today. That's freaking nuts.
On three of their four scoring drives, okay? The first one, we had Maeva dead to rights. He scrambles to the right. And on the replay, I didn't get a chance to see the whole thing, but on the replay, you could tell Tommy Hill starts creeping up as Maeva took off. So I don't know. Maybe he's thinking
he's going to run it.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then Maeva like throws it up. It looked like, even like in the moment, it looked like we had a bunch of jerseys, like a bunch of Husker jerseys there, and somebody was going to pick it.
Yeah.
What I didn't see, and we're recording this right after the game, so I haven't had a chance to rewatch it, or I haven't seen anything on Twitter or anything. What I didn't see was like, did Tommy still make it? Like, were we still in a position to pick it after that? Was it close? I don't really know, but he definitely got caught creeping up. Like he was in coverage and then he crept up, and that's why the guy was in a position to make the catch.
Yeah.
But there's that. Not exactly like bad luck. You could argue is like not the best play by Tommy Hill, but then their second touchdown in the actual end zone. Now, I'll say this for Hartzog. It was probably more like fingertips then, or top half of the fingers, maybe, than like it wasn't. And he was like fully extended. So if he had come down with that, it would have been an extraordinary catch for the interception.
Yep.
But then because he made a good play on the ball, the receiver doesn't catch it.
Bounces off of his own chest.
Off of his chest plate.
Yep.
And then Hartzog is right there. So, so it hits Hartzog and then falls back to the guy. Instead of falling harmlessly to the turf, falling into the hands of a Nebraska defender, it falls right back to the USC receiver.
Yeah.
And he catches it for a touchdown. And then, of course, that last one that we just talked about on their final scoring drive, where the Black Shirts were playing well. I mean, they gave up 28 points. Like look. Or what was the final score? They gave up 28 points. They gave up 28 points. Like, I don't know. They felt like they were getting gashed at times, but they battled and they were playing. At that point, they had only given up 7 points in the second half. And if there's not that voodoo magic for the Trojans, they probably hold at only giving up 7 points for the half. Like they were buttoning it up in the second half. And so it's just, I mean, it just feels like the curse. Go ahead.
Josh. I don't get it. I don't know. You're a Cubs fan. How do we break this damn curse, TJ? I'm not quite to the point of human sacrifice yet, but we got to saw the head off a goat. Like, you're a Cubs fan. Yeah. You know all about this.
Well,
stuff.
No one ever.
What do we do?
No one ever beheaded any goats on the Cubs run to the World Series, Jeff. But
maybe that's the Red Sox. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, if there is a human sacrifice, you're going to be involved. Let's just.
Can I just jump in here? I think this is. I hate to put this on the defense, but I think this is kind of on the defense.
Okay, go for it. I want
to
hear.
You look at the numbers. We gave up 441 total yards, 182 on the ground. That's too much. It is, and now 30. Some of that was on a 4th-and-1. Like, that was huge. We had a running back go for 150-ish in Woody, what's his name, who liked to dress up, apparently, according to the TV podcast, Woody from Toy Story.
10 or 11 times.
Great story. Just a great story.
That's really cute.
Yeah, give me a break. But 182 on the ground, 259 through the air. Like, not great. I mean, you would hope that, you would hope that with a new OC in like just an unprecedented situation, the defense can step up and do a little bit better. That's my opinion.
Here's the deal with this defense. I think, and Mitch Sherman made this point the first time we had him on around spring ball. They're good. They're not great.
Yes.
And I think that last year, they looked better than they actually, or we thought they were more dominant, and the numbers were good.
Yeah.
But we thought that because they played such piss poor offenses.
Absolutely.
Other than national champion Michigan. And a Colorado team with at least some weapons. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the teams we played last year, Northwestern, Purdue, Illinois, mm-hmm. Wisconsin in a transition year. Yeah, Iowa's often.
Maryland was out of decent.
Had some play, yeah.
With two of them,
yeah. But like for the most part, you know, Iowa's offense was historically bad, even for Iowa last year.
Yes.
And so, like for the most part, the this year, Indiana, top 10 team. Ohio State, top 10 team. USC. Yeah, they're 5-5. They've had some heartbreaking losses. Like, they have more talent than we do. They are more talented than we are, hands down. Who else? I mean, even UCLA probably has more talent, at least than we give them credit for. We could play the game of which team is more talented, but certainly more talent. They played a ton of great teams, which had them fall to 2-5, right? Who am I missing here? Colorado. Look at Colorado's 8-2 now.
Yeah.
Although the defense played well.
They might be playoff bound if they keep it up.
But I think we've.
So go ahead.
No, I think we have a lot of older experienced players that are very, very good leaders. And I got to be careful what I say here. They're very good on the leadership standpoint and the effort that they're going to give. But I wonder if you sacrifice a little bit of that for ability and talent. And I hate saying that about some of these guys because what they've done for the program. But, you know, they've kind of had their go at it. Like I hope to God they can have one last great game against Wisconsin here on senior day. But I'm kind of like in a point where as a Husker fan, I'm ready to turn the page and say, let's get some new blood in there and see what they can do. The same movie over and over. And it's like, okay, yeah, we're making tackles and we're not giving up and we're fighting and we're not giving up huge plays, but teams are still going down the field and scoring. And I'm just kind of wondering, like, okay, are we ready to just kind of say, hey, thanks guys for what you've done. Like, you've worked your butts off. We know that. We're going to give you credit for that and all this stuff that you've been through with coaching changes and all that. But I kind of want to see some other guys, some new blood, get some reps and get some more time in there, because some of these guys maybe aren't stepping up and making the plays that we need them to make when the game's on the line.
I mean, we do appear to get out-athleted.
Yeah.
And it seems that maybe this is just a fan thing, and maybe the data wouldn't back this up. It seems to happen always at the worst possible moments.
Yeah.
Right. But okay. So Owens, that was beautiful. That was eloquent. I don't want to
throw anyone under the bus.
No, I know.
I don't want to do that, because I love what some of these older guys have done. Notice I'm not saying anybody's names. Yeah. But
and I don't disagree with any of it. But the offense was responsible for 13 points tonight.
100%.
The offense scored one touchdown.
I talked about how many yards we gave up. We only put up 310. So yeah, like we've talked about it before. Complimentary football. The offense cannot have three and outs. We cannot not ever have three and outs. You can't. And we had multiple and really at big turning points in the game, right? Like, you can't get the ball from the defense, can't get you the ball, and then you go three and out.
Right. Like,
that can't happen.
I suppose we all probably should have known earlier in the week, because Matt Rhule coming out the gate talking about the offense with Holgorsen being there in practice and using that stupid word epic. Like, I hate it so much. And he used that word. And I'll tell you one thing, there was nothing epic about what I saw today.
That is so spot on, Jeff.
It pisses me off. So I hate that word. It was epic. I'm like, we should have known. Oh, God. It's bad.
It has the potential to be epic. Yeah. Why would you ever say that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If it's going to be epic, let it be epic on the field. And then you talk about it afterward.
Uh-huh.
Don't say it's going to be epic. And I don't put the ineptitude on Holgorsen. Mm-hmm. I actually think there were certain, like, it looked like, especially in the first half, they had some things designed to like get the ball out quicker.
It looked a little cleaner, a little different, a little rhythmic, better. Looked a little more like we're trying tempo. To be a little more rhythmic, yeah. a little more different tempo.
He's only been there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there were some plays. I felt like that one to Bonner, I think we did it three times and it worked two, and then it didn't work the third time. That kind of like you fake it to him and then dump it right off to him kind of thing.
Yeah. I like that
looked like a new wrinkle. So I feel like the more time, like I'm not bailing on Holgorsen. If they want to keep Holgorsen around for next year, I think that would be a massive improvement. But it just speaks to the ineptitude of like what the offense has been for most of the season. And that's on Rhule and it's on Marcus Satterfield. And like, it's no one could come in and fix all of that in 2 weeks. So again, I'm not putting it on Holgorsen, but it comes back to the same old thing, Matty-O. Again, I don't disagree with what you said about the defense, and you know, at some point, like, it feels like the other side is always the one making a play and our guys are the one letting the interception go through their hands. Right. So
yeah.
I don't know why that is. I don't know what that is. I don't know if you can attribute to coaching or something else. So I'm not disagreeing with what you say at all, but we don't have an offense that can just go win us a game.
No,
we don't.
No,
we don't.
We know that.
And like, and we can't execute a 2 minute drill or a 4 minute drill. How about one other thing, guys? The two plays Harburg came in, one, he ran for about 12 yards, almost broke it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, because they were respecting the quarterback run, he handed it to Emmett for about 6 yards.
Yeah.
Can we let him have a drive?
Yeah, give him a series. I'm with you, General.
It wouldn't be. We've said this 15 times now. He's not taking over for Dylan. Everyone knows that. Can we let Harburg have like one or two series per half? Two or three series per half. Let him have a whole series.
Yeah.
Because look, I'm sorry, guys. We were recording this right after the game. We're all a little bit raw. And like we've said raw right now. We said more than once, like, true freshman, there's going to be hiccups. There's going to be toe stubbings, but like at some point, if you're going to roll with the true freshman, you got to, I don't know if it's coaching or if Dylan's making the mistakes or what, but the mistakes are costly.
Yeah.
The interception, we were moving the ball on that like back shoulder throw. And it was just a bad throw. Missing Banks for a clear touchdown was bad.
Yeah.
Like the mistakes are costly and he's not mobile. or at least they don't want, and he's got the back thing going on, so maybe that's not fair. Or maybe they don't want him to be mobile, but like having a, like Maeva, I thought was going to be more of a running quarterback, and they didn't run him very much, but he at least brought that element.
Yeah.
He didn't have the element with Dylan at all. So again, if he's your guy, fine. You got to give Harburg more than one play under center.
Yeah.
Let him, let Harburg have 1 to 3 drives per half where he's the guy, because again, you can run totally different plays, or at least make them respect the QB run game. And that's a totally different wrinkle. It's like two different offenses the defense has to prepare for.
Yeah,
sure. And if you use them for like one play here and there, like you pretty much know what you're going to get out of it. They're like, okay, they put him in or design quarterback run. That's what we're looking at.
Right, here. Right.
Or at least if you get a series out of the deal, you make him question that a little bit.
Because you make him think. You make him have
to. Well, and he's exactly. good. Yeah. He's good enough throwing it that you can run it, and then maybe you catch him off guard and catch him asleep, and you pop one over the top. Like we did. That was our offense last year. And, you know, it got us a few wins. So I'm with you. And TJ, you've been saying that for several weeks now.
Yeah.
Like when the offense started to kind of hit a slog a little bit, like, it's like, you know, why not? Why not try it? And just run some zone read option offense.
Yes.
Like, what does it hurt?
Right.
Yeah.
I want to talk about something else, guys. This is probably a separate episode. Maybe we can get into this with Evan on when we record with Evan later this week, or I guess it'll be next week. But I mean, the clock management is atrocious.
Yeah.
And
there were some weird things going on.
The timeout that got burned.
That comes back to Rule, really.
Yeah.
And I think Rule's a great motivator, and he's a defensive minded coach. And the defense is better than it was since he got here. Nothing else is really better than it was.
Sure.
No.
Right? I mean, right?
Yeah, you're being
the sure offense good. Is wor- the offense is yeah. worse. The offense
has regressed.
The special teams has sucked since, I don't know.
They've always sucked. I think that goes back to like the Bush era.
But
even sucked. The special teams has sucked. It's just goes back prior coaching staffs, like for sure.
Right, but fix it.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. His speech in the fall of 22 before, I think we had already hired him. And he spoke at the American Football Coaches Association thing. Make special teams special was one of those things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm so like,
and
so.
And it wasn't today. Like special teams didn't hurt us as much, but not having any kind of return game.
We have no return game. And also we're fair catching balls at the 5.
Yeah.
And then that the end of the first half was a great example of all of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, we didn't take timeouts. We took the option of letting the extra 10 seconds run off the clock when USC had that penalty.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like, okay, I guess we're
going to let it. I didn't have a huge issue with that, honestly. Like,
I don't have a huge issue with that until you call the timeout.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we let the 10 seconds, like it was like 1:26 left. There was a penalty to back them way up, and it was either second down or third down, I can't remember, but we back them way up. Then we elect to run the 10 seconds off. So then there's 1:16. I think then it was third down. I think that's right. And then they had a kind of a bigger play, like a big play, but they were still about 4 yards short, and they elected to punt. And then we took a timeout with like 46 seconds left or something.
Yeah.
And then the time when you most need, like when you, like we're fair catching all these balls when we shouldn't be. Then when we actually need one, so we're not backed up against our own end zone, we let it go and they down it at the 1-inch line. And thankfully, like just brought Harburg in and let him lunge forward and there was no disaster there. I don't understand any of that.
No, me neither. I think Josh Peterson brought it up on Twitter too. He was like, what the hell is going on here? Like that made zero sense.
Right. If you want to let the clock, if you want to run the 10 seconds off, and you're just going to concede that we're going to probably hold them here and
then take it in the half.
And we get the ball to start the half, then don't call the timeout. It makes no sense.
Because then you put us in a shitty situation where we're down in our own end zone and we have to work our at. Like, I was legit worried. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Like, there's nothing's guaranteed here. What if like we drop a snap or we have to like push forward out of the damn end zone? It's just that whole situation made zero sense to me.
Yeah. And then there was another time, I don't remember where this was in the game. There was another time when it was 4th and 3 and we looked like we were like wrestling with the decision. The play clock ran down and we called timeout. And I think we were wrestling with the decision. And then I think we sent the punt team out.
Yeah.
And then we called timeout. Yeah. And Brock Huard on the broadcast was like, why would you like, this is bad. I don't know. Like, why are they calling timeout here? And then we put the offense back on the field and was like, oh, that's why they're calling timeout here. And it was, I think we were on the 40 something ish, but on our own side. And then it was like, we were clearly just trying to draw them off sides.
Yeah.
We clearly weren't going to run a play. And we intentionally, took the delay of game, but we weren't really at midfield there.
No.
Buscemi was at the 20 when he, I made note of it. Buscemi was at the 20 when he punted it. So you're not really playing chess there.
No.
Like, it felt like,
which is dumb. That's giving up yards.
Timeout. You're giving up yards.
Yeah.
And we still ended up punting it. Just punt it before you take the timeout.
Yeah.
And just like the game management, the clock management. Well,
it wasn't even an aggressive like move to try to draw them off sides. Like,
no.
If I'm
he kept going up under center. He kept going up under center and like putting his hand there.
Yeah. Or just like, closer to the center. Like, they're not snapping this. Don't even move, guys. Like, yeah. It was weird. It was bizarre.
Yeah. Yep.
No, it's all like, look, we said this after UCLA. We got to find between Wisconsin and Iowa. We have to win one of those games.
Yeah.
We have to get to a bowl game. You end 6-6 and you win a bowl game. Maybe we'll lose the bowl game, but like, let's pretend we ended 6-6 and we won a bowl game. I think most fans will at least breathe at 7-6.
Yeah. There's progress.
And they will say that's progress. That's better, et cetera. But like when we're talking about, when we're at through 10 games in year two, and we're talking about things like game management and poor special teams play and an inept offense, that starts to be concerning.
Yeah. Yes.
Matt Rhule's not on the hot seat. No one's calling for his job, but it feels like we've left. Let's think: Ohio State, UCLA, Illinois, USC.
Those are
four games we could have won.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we have instead of, I'm not saying we should have or could have won all of them or would have won all of them, but that's 9 wins compared to the 5 wins we're at. So you split those. Let's split those in half. And we're 7-3 right now, and everyone's feeling pretty good. We don't win any of them. So we said this before, Husker Nation is justified in feeling any kind of way they want to feel right now.
100%.
Because this just isn't good enough right now. And it still might get good enough under Rhule right now. And we'll have all offseason to talk about this right now. And your best chance is probably Wisconsin. Versus going to an improved Iowa team and Iowa City playing for bowl eligibility.
Yeah.
They've really got to find a way to win next week.
Yeah.
Or by the time you're listening to this, it'll be this week.
Devil's advocate here though. Because
it's weird that you're going to be devil's advocate.
I'm just
funny that you call it that too.
The Huskers made a deal with the devil. So I have to bring up devil's advocate here. I didn't do it. I didn't make that deal with Satan. Somebody on the inside did. It sure as hell wasn't me.
Somebody did long ago. Yeah,
somebody did. I'm just saying.
My money's on Devaney. That guy, I don't think T.O. would have done something like that.
Never say never. What? So
both of you can go straight to hell. Speaking of the devil. All right, anyway, Jeff, go ahead.
You said no. You said you preface this a lot. You always, nobody's calling for Rhule to get fired. Nobody's saying that, and I agree.
You
can't do it, but. Just hypothetically, there are people out there that already want him gone. You know, there's an irrational they're all out there. But what if we don't win another game?
I think there's going to be some staff changes.
They'll have to have some changes.
There might be anyway.
Yeah,
no, he won't. Rhule's not getting fired.
Okay.
to your question, is if that's what you're asking.
That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. Like, what if we go and we only get five wins a game?
But but I will say he'll probably be on the hot seat.
Okay. All right. There. That's a good answer for me.
I will also say though, like, even if we win the next two somehow, I think he's going to have to make some changes.
Yeah.
Like they showed this quote during the game that I had not seen or read during the week. Maybe he said it during the press conference and I just missed it, but he said something like, we have three games left to try to get to a bowl game. We have three games left to try to get to a bowl game, and I'll do anything I need to do to make that happen, or something like that.
Yeah.
I think he gets it. He knows, he feels it.
Sure.
But like, Rule is definitely not getting, even if we lose out, it would be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be embarrassing for the program. It'll be embarrassing for Matt Rule. But he's not getting fired even if that happens.
No.
If we lose out, he's probably on the hot seat going into year three.
Yeah.
If we get to a bowl game, and especially if we win the bowl game and end the season 7-6, I think people are still feeling a little irritated, a little antsy, but they're feeling better.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's progress.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, we have said many times, and other people have made the point, it took a long time. This precipitous fall for Nebraska football took many years, and you're not going to rebuild it overnight.
Yeah.
But we'll have to have this conversation in the offseason. Like, what we've seen so far this season isn't a whole lot better than what we saw last season. And it makes you wonder, what is there to make you believe the year three leap under Matt Rule? Because in year three is when he took off at both Temple and Baylor. What is there to make you believe the year three leap is going to happen? It would be perfectly justifiable for Husker fans to feel that way right now.
Yeah, it would. But you know what? Then you talk to the recruiting experts who will tell you that we're doing pretty damn well in recruiting.
Yeah, We're probably going to end up
with a top 20 class again, which we have like several times in the last 7 years where we've been bowl-less. We haven't gone to a bowl game and we've still done well in recruiting. So then that further points to, okay, if you're doing well in recruiting, and all these recruiting experts really have done a decent job over the years of evaluating this talent, then it goes to coaching. It does.
Yeah.
So you're getting these guys in that are highly rated, that are all these other schools want, mm-hmm. and you've got good recruiting classes, okay, but you're not winning games. Okay, then what is it? It's coaching. It's coaching and development. And I've thought for the last couple of years, like, I think we're doing a little better in development. Okay. Well, now it's going to really show, I think, in year three, where we've got a few guys now where it's their third year with this staff.
Yep.
And it's time to make something happen.
Well, and I think no matter what happens, even if we win the next two, even if we're 7-5, and then we win our bowl game, we're 8-5, I think some changes are going to be made in the offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, Marcus Satterfield's never going to be your offensive coordinator again. That became clear as soon as they brought Dana Holgorsen in, or as soon as they made Holgorsen the OC. I wonder what's going to happen with Ed Foley. I really do. And then we'll see at some of these other, you know, some of the position coaches. But I think Rule, though, like, he knows enough to know, like, you can't run it back the same.
No.
Way. Yeah.
And here's the deal with Rule, too. Like, Rule's not going anywhere. We know that. But put yourself in his shoes. Okay. You got fired from Carolina. You're probably not going to coach in the NFL ever again. Let's just be real about that. Right. Now, if he gets fired from Nebraska, he's been fired from those last two coaching jobs. He doesn't want that. Like, I think he's going to do whatever it takes to make this thing work. And some of that's me being like, I just wanted to work with him and work with a Husker head coach for once. But if you have the confidence in your ability to be a leader and a coach, you don't want your legacy to be the last two jobs I got fired from. 'Cause then it becomes like, who wants to hire me? You might be collecting a bunch of buyout money, but no coach wants to be that guy that's just sitting at home collecting a paycheck, watching other teams play, and not having a chance to do what you do with your career. Right. It's like, right. you just don't want to be like that guy. It's like, I've got enough money to live the rest of my life and not ever work a day again. But if you have pride in yourself and what you do and your ability, you don't want to be that. So I really, really think he wants to be, and he'll be willing to make changes if need be. And I'm with you 100%, TJ. Like, even if we win, yeah, need does be. So it'll be, regardless of whatever happens the last two games, it's going to be a hell of an interesting offseason again. And I'm sick. I'm so sick of that being like the highlight of our year of what happens in the offseason. Like, we need to see some W's.
So we got the Common Fan socks. We're going to, like, we need t-shirts. And the first t-shirt needs to say, need does be.
Need be.
need does be.
Need does be.
Need does be. All right, guys, let's do corn cobs. Because then I know Geoff's going to go slam 47 Coors Lights after this.
Oh, I'm definitely doing that. I've already slammed three of them before. I'll go.
Yeah, what you got?
I'll get mine to Emmett Johnson. He had a cool touchdown today, and that was pretty cool. It was a reception touchdown. So I like that guy. He's cool. So I'll get my corn cob.
55. He had 55 yards rushing on 10 carries, 5.5 a carry, 36 yards receiving. So, yeah, I mean, 91 total yards on 17 touches for Emmett. Like, we've said for a long time, like, we like that guy a lot.
I with no disrespect to Dowdell, because he's really good too, I think Emmett's the best back. And when he's given the opportunity, he continues to show it. And I think Dowdell might be a little bit bigger. He might be a little more raw. Like, he might be a little more athletic. But Emmett is more slippery. And with an average with average offensive line play, Emmett becomes more important because he can make guys miss. Yeah. And he usually ends up on the right side of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So great call, Geoff. I love we love EJ. Matty,
we all love Emmett.
I gotta go with Sierra. I mean, four solo tackles, pick six, blocked a field goal against his former team. Mm-hmm. I just felt really happy for that kid. He's played well for us this year, and then to go against his former squad and show up and really be one of the guys, like, you could tell he really wanted to get that W today, and he played ball. So see you right, corn cob.
Good call.
Absolutely.
And it was chippy out there with them, like, and him. Was. Like, man, it was aggressive today, to say the least.
Yeah.
It was. I'm going to go with, I'm looking at the numbers here. I'm going to go with Jamari Butler. He had three total tackles, one tackle for loss. It felt like he was everywhere today. I would have guessed the number would have been better than that, but I think he was in the backfield a lot. I think he was harassing Maeva a lot. And I'm just pissed off at the offense, and I don't want to give it to anybody on offense. Yeah. John Bullock played a great game.
Yeah. Seven tackles total for John.
Yeah. And, you know, I felt like by and large, Ty and Nash in particular looked pretty good. You know, they were really physical at the line of scrimmage. You know, a lot of guys on D played a really good game. But I'm going to give mine to Jamari because I love Jamari. I want him to come back for his senior season and be an anchor of that defensive line next year. And he played, they were calling his name a lot at the very least. Blah. All right, Common Fans.
I don't know what that was, but I liked it.
Blah. We're just wrapping this thing up. Yeah. I'm sorry, but just
that's a big, big game next weekend.
Well, Wisconsin becomes massive now.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I would just state the obvious, and like, look, Wisconsin's five. As we speak, they're 5-4. They're only losing to Oregon 6-0 as we're recording this. I assume they're going to lose to Oregon and hopefully get beat the hell up against Oregon. Okay, 6-3 as I'm looking at this right now in the second quarter. So interesting. That could get interesting. But then they're going to be 5-5. They haven't had a great year. They lost 42-10 to Iowa last week. And we're going to be at home, which, you know, who the hell knows if that's good or bad for us.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. But like, we have to, like, that's the more winnable game.
Yeah.
And then, like, you never know, this game against Iowa, even Frost's worst teams always made it a game. Yeah. Maybe we'll win both of these. And I'm not saying that, like, because I'm feeling very positive right now. We very well could lose them both. Yeah. Like, you just never know. But you got to find a way to take care of business against Wisconsin, who isn't that good. Apparently, neither are we. And then, like, imagine going into Iowa City with the monkey off the back and being 6-5 and knowing we're going to a bowl game and knowing that, like,
Yeah, and then it's just a rivalry game.
Then it's like, just a rivalry game. Yeah, right. And so, like, then it gets more interesting and more fun. It's more fun for everybody. And if you lose, it's annoying because it's Iowa, but it's not as devastating, right?
Right.
So just freaking beat Wisconsin. Figure out how to beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I just, all I say is they said it on the broadcast too. They were talking about, well, Nebraska's just fighting to become bowl eligible. And I can't remember which announcer said it, but he goes, you know, the easiest way to become bowl eligible is just to get over it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Like,
just get over the hump.
Get over it, you guys. Like, that's all I can say is it's not that hard in today's day and age to go to a bowl game. It's not difficult.
Well, and just that stat they showed, the fact that we've got the longest bowl drought of any power conference team. Like, that is just unbelievable and embarrassing.
I'm so annoyed with every, they always talk about it. Today it was the Aflac trivia question. Today it was which team has the longest bowl drought. And it's like, are you really doing this for your Aflac trivia question?
During our game?
Yes,
our
we game. Know the answer. We know the answer. Nebraska know. Fans know the answer.
Exactly. So annoying.
Get over it. Like, it should not. Six games is not that hard.
No.
It's not that impressive, Fred. Yeah, it's
winning
not that impressive.
Half of games.
Going
it's
six
a disappointment.
And, going 6-6.
It used,
is not
it
great.
Used to be that I That's thought it was great. Ridiculous that teams that went 500, 6-6 would get to a bowl game.
Agreed.
That's what
I
used to think.
I remember. I'd be like, these people are not worthy of playing in a bowl
and now
game.
I'm praying
just let them
get six wins.
Yeah, it's just, it's so sad.
Exactly right.
Get over it, guys. Figure it out.
Get the W one week from today. Let's freaking
Man's game.
Go.
Yeah.
Exactly right. All right, Comet fans, thanks for joining us. Again, we recorded this like literally immediately after the game ended. So we're all a little bit raw.
Welcome to hell. Man. Welcome to hell, Comet fans. We've been here forever. We've been here for years. Trying to crawl our way into purgatory. Then maybe out of purgatory.
We're talking about deals with the devil. We're talking about the scary
voodoo.
Scary chick from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, voodoo doll in the Huskers. I mean, this is our Temple of Doom episode. This is our darkest episode.
Golly,
yeah, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here now for answers, folks. We're all over the place.
That's right. That's right. All right, Common fans, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll have a view from the bland stands later this week where maybe we'll be in a little better place and we'll try to make a little more sense of everything. And then we're going to go beat Wisconsin and Lincoln next week.
Yes.
We're going to do it.
Got
to
happen.
We can do it. Exactly.
Get over it.
Get Man's over game. It, everyone. Exactly. All right, Common fans, thanks for hanging with us. We'll see you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.